Hello, my name is Bill White, and I am the pastor of Madera Church. You may have seen on our Madera Highlands community page recently or on Facebook that we have a new church in the community, and our plan was actually not to launch this new church until the fall of this year. We already have lined up a lease with the Continental School to be able to meet in the school gym and to provide a full-fledged service like most of us are used to, with a worship gathering of worship through song, a message, a community together, kids ministry, all those things. But as our leadership team has prayed and met, we've decided that we don't want to wait until the fall in light of what's happening in our world. Now, we want to be able to pray for you. We want to be able to serve our community. And so we've decided to really launch our church this Sunday, Easter Sunday. But even before that, we're experimenting with what Facebook Live options we have, ways to provide a message for you. And so today we are just offering a very brief, I'll call it a Good Friday service. And we have a couple worship songs provided and just a time of reflection for us to remember the sacrifice of Christ. And so I'm gonna ask right now if you have it in your home to grab a glass, a cup of some kind. And if you have juice, grape juice, wine, if you don't have that, that's okay. If you want to get some water, I know friends on the mission field who use Diet Coke, something that is a liquid that we could use to represent the shed blood of Christ, and then also some bread. And if you have it, I would encourage you to find something that doesn't have any yeast in it, so a cracker or matzah bread, something like that. Any bread will do, and I'll explain a little bit later why unleavened bread. But we wanted to just give you an opportunity to get to know us a little bit and to be able to share with you why Good Friday is good. And so my friends, Madera Church Worship, they're calling themselves now, they're just starting, but I got Victor, Eli, and Ricardo are gonna lead us in two songs, one about the love of God and one about the cross and what Jesus did for us on the cross. And that's really what we're remembering today and why we call Good Friday good. I want to just give a little plug for all of the AV people out there, the people that are putting these videos together or leading worship in a new way online. Many of you may attend a different church, and I want to encourage you to continue to support your church in any way that you can, but show grace to your audiovisual guys. They're totally rolling with the punches, and they're trying to do the best they can, and most of our audio systems are set up so that it sounds really great when you're gathering together in the sanctuary. But now we're putting out recordings, and we're not recording studios. And so show grace to your churches and to this new church as well, as we strive to just give you an opportunity to worship. I want to say something about that. My wife and I have discovered that worshiping to a screen, whether it be your phone, a tablet, or a computer, or maybe you, like us, for Sunday morning, you set it up to your TV screen, it's a little bit weird, maybe a little bit awkward to sing to a TV screen or to a phone. And so here's what I want to challenge you to do, to realize that you're not singing to the TV. What you're doing is you're singing, you're worshiping the creator of the universe, God, the one who made the mountains behind me. You're worshiping God, who is present with you in your home. He's with you in your living room, in your family room, in your kitchen, or if you're on your back patio. So realize that as you worship, yes, we're using a TV screen or a phone or whatever it might be, but you are able to worship a holy God who is with you right now. And so even if you don't want to sing out loud, I encourage you to listen to the words of these songs and allow them to prepare your heart for remembering what Christ did on our behalf through communion.
Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. when all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. How he loves us, oh, how he loves us, how he loves us. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. He's fortunate, he is our prize, the drought to redemption by the grace. Savior, I come, quiet my soul, remember, redemption's here, where your blood was spilled, for my ransom, everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love pour out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. side, but tempted and tried. Human, the Word became flesh, bore my sin and death. Now you're innocent. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love pour out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, let me, lead me to the cross, to your heart, to your heart, lead me to your cross where your love pour out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to the cross.
Father God, as we prepare our hearts for partaking in communion together, as we remember the sacrifice of Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to examine our hearts. Help us, Lord, to reflect on our past sin, the things that we've done that are outside of your holiness, that don't line up with what you represent. I pray, God, that you would help us to lay those at your feet. And we thank you, God, that you are a God who forgives. That you call us to repent and to turn from those ways, Lord, but you totally take on the penalty of those sins. Lord, that's what you were willing to do on the cross. That's why Good Friday is good, is because you made a way for us to be forgiven. You made a way for us to have a personal relationship with a holy God. Help us never to let that become mundane. Help us to always be in awe of this relationship that we have with you. As we think about what you did for us on Good Friday, as we use the elements of the Lord's Supper to reflect, I pray that you would just continue to prepare our hearts to celebrate our victory on Easter Sunday, Lord. Thank you that we are people who know who our Savior is and that we have a relationship with you through him. And so, Lord, I just ask that you be with our time as we reflect on your truth, that it would bring you glory and that you would speak to our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. What I'd like to do is explain a little bit what the original Lord's Supper was all about. And I think that for some of us, we maybe grew up in a tradition where you do it every Sunday and it's a priest that has to give it to you, and maybe you cringed a little bit when I suggested that you get anything that hasn't been blessed by a priest to remember what Jesus has done. But I want to take us to God's truth and to see what he says about this particular meal. And it was a particular meal. It wasn't just some random dinner that he was having with his disciples before he went to the cross. He was actually celebrating what is known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Or today we also call it a Passover Seder. And it's what the Jewish people would do annually to remember that God delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt. And so this meal that they were taking had all these elements within it that was to speak to who God is and what God's done. I won't get into all the details today. I encourage you to look up a Passover Seder if you have time at some point. But one of the things that takes place is that you take a drop out of one of the cups of wine and you place 10 droplets around your plate. And each drop represents one of the plagues that God brought to Pharaoh and Egypt and Pharaoh's people so that Pharaoh would let the Israelites go. And it's interesting, you probably remember Moses was the one who would take this to Pharaoh each time. And I love what scripture captures. If you read this story, I challenge you to find it. It reveals to us that not only is God using Moses to tell Pharaoh to let them go, but in each time, he says these words, "Let my people go so that they can worship me." God was freeing them from their slavery so they could worship him again. And I love this because that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. He has freed us from the slavery of our sin so that we can worship God. And so when Jesus is taking this meal, this Passover Seder meal, and he is... Sorry, my battery just went low on my camera. When he's taking this meal together with his disciples, he's giving it new meaning. They would have been people who understood the Jewish way of looking at it, but we'll see in scripture what he does is he gives it all new meaning. Remember how I challenged you to get bread that was unleavened, bread that didn't have any yeast in it? Well, that's what the Jewish people would have done. They would have gotten unleavened bread because that unleavened bread represented manna that God sent from heaven to provide for them as they were wandering in the wilderness after they were freed from the slavery in Egypt. And it represented his provision, the way that he took care of them. But scripture tells us that Jesus identifies himself as living bread, bread that would give us new life, abundant life in him. And when he says that his body is broken for us, that this bread represents him, I love this because leaven in the Old Testament represents sin. So this yeast, this stuff that rises within the dough represents sin. And when Jesus took this wafer of bread, when he took a piece of the Seder meal matzah bread, what he was doing was he was saying, my body is sinless. I am the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that can be given so that you can have your ransom paid for, so that you can also receive the forgiveness of your sin. And so I love the way that the elements within this meal have been given new meaning through Jesus. And what I'd like to do is for us to, as we're reflecting on the bread, to partake in it together. And then I want us to look at what the cup represents. It has incredible meaning and significance as well. But if we want to look at the account that is provided from Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, he reminds us that we should not enter into this in an unworthy way. In fact, he challenges us to reflect, to just take some time to give our sin to the Lord, realizing that he forgives us, but to give those things to him and to make our heart right before we enter into this time of remembrance. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you should examine yourself before eating the bread or drinking the cup. So I want to challenge you to do that. Even now, before we partake in the bread, I want to go ahead and get your bread ready. But before we partake, take a few moments. I'm going to step aside and let you look at this beautiful mountain, Mount Ritson in the background, and simply reflect on what the God who created that mountain has done for you through the sacrifice of his son. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, it says, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, again, unleavened bread, bread that represented his sinlessness. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this, take this in remembrance of me. Father God, we remember. Together, individually scattered in our homes, we take a moment and unite our hearts as one as we remember that Jesus gave his life for us, the perfect sacrifice, so that we could be forgiven of our sin, so that we could have a right relationship with you, not because we're good enough, not because of the things we do, but because of Jesus's finished work on the cross and what we'll look at on Easter Sunday, his resurrection, the finality, the victory, the exclamation point on what he came to do. But today, Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice of Christ. We thank you for his broken body and that it was given for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now I want to challenge you to go ahead and get the cup of wine or juice or whatever it is that you have and to reflect on this. So during that Passover Seder meal, there was also a cup. And many scholars think that there was an additional cup that was set aside for either Elijah or the Messiah, the future Redeemer. And that cup was to be left alone and no one would drink it during the Passover meal. And many people believe that this is the cup that Jesus took. He took the cup of the Redeemer, the Messiah's cup. And what he says is incredible. I love this portion of scripture. He says, in the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. A new covenant. Jesus is declaring that he's making a new way for us to have a personal relationship with a holy God. You see, up until this point, the people of Israel had a temple. And this temple was a place where the high priest would go to allow people to bring sacrifices. And annually, the high priest would go into this area of the temple that was known as the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is where God's presence dwelt. And what the high priest would do is he would go into the presence of God and he would give a sacrifice, a sacrifice that was out without blemish, on behalf of the people to cover their sins from that past year. And year after year, they'd have to bring in this sacrifice. What took place on the cross on Good Friday was that when Jesus breathed his last breath, the curtain that separated the people from God's presence in the Holy of Holies in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. This curtain was torn in two, and what was being declared through that incredible event, not just the earthquake or the way that the sky became dark, even though it was midday, but when that curtain tore from top to bottom, I believe that God was declaring that now we have this direct access to a holy God. No longer do we have to rely on a priest to go into God's presence for us, but because of Jesus's sacrifice on the cross for you and for me, because of this new covenant that was established with his blood, we now have access to a holy God, a personal relationship with the God who created these mountains, a personal relationship with the God who's in your home right now as you remember what his son did for you. So I want to challenge you to take the cup and remember that this represents the blood of Jesus, the blood that was shed to make a new way for us to have a personal relationship with a holy God so that we can be forgiven and made new and begin to be ministers of reconciliation and representing him in this world, being a light for him. In the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. Father God, I love that at that moment, the wind has stirred up around me on this mountain. A reminder of the Holy Spirit and the gift that you have given us when you ascended to sit at your Father's right hand. Jesus, you say that we as believers now have the Holy Spirit in us. Just like the wind, we can't necessarily see it, but we can feel its impact. We know the power that it has. And Lord, right now as we're facing just uncertain times in our world, we ask that you would help us to realize that we have your power within us. Lord, that we need not fear because you are with us. Wherever we go, you are with us. Father God, help us to represent you well. pray that you would prepare our hearts to remember the victory that is ours through the resurrection. Prepare our hearts, Lord, to be excited to celebrate Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday in our homes. Probably for many of us, the first time that we've not entered into a building on Easter Sunday. But Lord, what a beautiful reminder. Just as the church buildings are empty around the world right now, the grave is empty as well. Father God, you have declared that your Son is alive and that we can have life because of him. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for making a new way, a new covenant, a new agreement, so that we can have a personal relationship with you. We thank you for Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.